Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, musicians, and comedians that perform here and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what makes our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Don Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. Today we have the distinct pleasure of introducing you to Joel and Becca Graham, the dynamic duo behind the Friendly City Inn, a historic bed and breakfast in Harrisonburg, Virginia. This charming restored mansion circa 1885 provides the feeling of a historic Civil War era home serving gourmet breakfast on a beautiful property. This young couple's journey from dreamers to innkeepers is nothing short of inspiring. Joel and Becca, among the youngest innkeepers in America, fell head over heels for Harrisonburg's charm and warmth. Their passion for hospitality led them to seize the opportunity to breathe new life into the historic B&B they now lovingly call home. With Joel's background in entrepreneurship and Becca's expertise as a former dietitian, they bring a perfect blend of creativity and care to every aspect of their innkeeping venture. From greeting guests with genuine warmth to crafting mouthwatering breakfast and ensuring every detail is just right, Joel and Becca pour their hearts into creating a welcoming haven for travelers. Their shared love for the outdoors and adventurous spirit infuses every aspect of their lives, from exploring nature's wonders to competing in spirited rounds of spike ball. Please join us to delve into their remarkable journey filled with warmth, hospitality, and a touch of competitive fun. Welcome to the show, Joel and Becca. It's great to have you on today.
Thank you so much for having us, Dawn.
It's great to be on the show.
Yes, I'm so glad to be here. It's wonderful to meet you. And also, laughers, we have a special little guest with us today. Their six-month-old baby girl, Eleanor. So if you hear the baby talking, you're not imagining things. And we're glad to have her here with us and the two of you. I'm excited that you're a part of our February series on episodes dealing with all matters of the heart. We've had the couples therapist, the massage therapist from the Escape Spa. We're going to have Letitia Bates, was the week before, talking about matters of the heart and healing ourselves and how best we can do that. So I thought it would be fitting if we could finish February with the matter of fun, because we all need to have some fun for ourselves and in our relationships. It just brings a whole nother dimension and memories that we can create for a lifetime and encourage people to get out of their homes and out of their cities and towns and come to a whole new place, or even just get out of their homes in their own town and do a staycation. And I think the added element with the two of you is a husband and wife team running a business, which I'm sure can be challenging.
Absolutely. It's fun. And it's fun. Challenging. Yeah. We have a great time.
Yes. So I wanted to get into this whole thing about your story, and I want to talk about that first. How did you come to own and operate the Friendly City Inn? What drew you to this bed and breakfast?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we moved to Harrisonburg in October of 2018, and we had a little bit of a connection to the area before moving. Becca's cousin is a professor at JMU.
Oh, good.
He teaches history there. And so she actually, JMU was one of her top schools she considered going to. Becca's from Pennsylvania, decided to go with in-state tuition. So didn't end up here for school, but about 10 years later, after her visit to the college, we moved to Harrisonburg. And we had no idea that there was any future bed and breakfast coming down the pike for us. So we moved here for a job. Becca started working at the hospital as a dietitian. I was working remotely for spike ball, and we rented an apartment a couple doors down from the bed and breakfast from an older gentleman in his mid-80s named Wayne Engel. And I would say the landlord-tenant relationship with Wayne was not traditional. He was very friendly, and he's a very eccentric guy, very, very accomplished person, very involved in the Harrisonburg area. So we got to know him much better than you usually know your landlord. Becca baked him an apple pie, which we kind of credit everything after that to that apple pie. So he then he brought a bag of apples over and set them on our porch and said, can you bake me another pie? And so we started to build up this relationship with Wayne, and saw that, you know, the bed and breakfast had a for sale sign out front. And did you think about that when you saw the sign, Becca?
No, never would have considered it. But we dropped our rent checks off in the mailbox at the inn because Wayne was living in the attic of the bed and breakfast. He had closed it about a year and a half prior, I think. And he was living in the attic. And so I would come over every month and walk over and drop our rent checks off. And I think at one point he gave us a tour of the building and we realized how beautiful it was inside. And yeah, historic home that was gorgeous, but never would have given two thoughts about the for lease sign out front.
Yeah, so I'm to blame for that. I'm kind of a sucker for a new idea or an opportunity. And we had been tossing around the idea of some sort of investment in real estate. Yeah. I studied entrepreneurship, always looking for a new business idea. And we really wanted to find something that we could work on together. And so Becca decided, well, what might it look like if I hung up the day job at the hospital? And we started to sort of explore whether this could be possible, started having those conversations with Wayne. It was about a 7 or 8 month process of considering and talking over what it might look like. And we decided to jump in. God opened the doors for that to work for us. One of Becca's siblings partnered with us. His name's Jeff. Thanks, Jeff, for all you do. And
shout out to Jeff.
That's right. And we dove in August of 2019.
Okay. There's so much in there that I want to explore a little bit more. I want to talk about the spike ball for just a second. There's actual professional positions in spike ball. First of all, what is spike ball?
Yeah. So spike ball is a beach and yard game. Okay. It kind of takes the rules of doubles beach volleyball and crosses that with an element like four square. So there's a circular net that sits on the ground and four players would stand around that net and bounce this ball off of the net. Your team of two gets three touches. Once you take your last touch and it bounces off the net, the other team takes possession and whoever can't get it back on the net loses the point. You played a 21.
Mm.
Yeah.
How did you guys get into spike ball? Is that where you met?
That is how we met.
Ah.
Yes. So it was 2013. I had just graduated high school and Joel was at the time interning for the company Spike Ball Inc. That manufactures the sets, a product, and he was at a music festival promoting, and I was there with my youth group, and we encountered their setup. They had a tent set up and were running tournaments each day. So I stumbled across it with some friends. They taught us how to play. We got really into it. Several of my friends, we brought it home with us, bought a set there, brought it home with us, and our youth group started to get really into playing. I then went to college, took a set with me. My roommate and I kind of kept playing off and on. And Joel and I had kept in touch a little bit after the fact, and then lost touch for that year while I was at college. But I started to get more into playing and discovered that there were tournaments. And a friend of mine hosted a tournament in Lancaster, where I'm from. It's the first tournament that I had ever encountered. And Joel, who had kind of been a spike ball mentor for the group, my youth group, and kind of would answer questions or help set things up. So he ended up coming up from Nashville where he was going to college for that tournament. We kind of reconnected, and I got hooked on spike ball and simultaneously got hooked on Joel. we started dating soon after that and started going to tournaments together. It kind of became a big part of our relationship. Joel was also then employed full time with the company after he graduated from college. So that became his full-time job, not playing, but working for the company. And we traveled to tournaments on weekends. Yeah. It's kind of been a big part of our lives for the last 10 years or so. We both have since hung up the competitive aspect for the most part, but Joel still does some coaching and we still stay in touch with lots of friends that we made over the years from traveling and playing competitively.
Yes, I understand you. One
the world championship in spike ball?
Yes. Last year was the first ever world championship. It was hosted in Belgium, and Joel was coaching, and I went as kind of my last hurrah. My longtime teammate and I went and competed, and it was kind of a squads format as well. And the U.S. is a little bit ahead of most other countries. So the U.S. did end up winning every division. And my teammate and I did win the individual women's tournament at that event, but it was really cool. There were 30 some countries there represented. Yeah, just really neat to see the how far the sport has come and how much it's developing and catching on in other places around the world.
How did you discover spikeball?
Yeah, so it was my freshman year in college.
Okay.
My RA back in, this would have been 2011.
Right.
He encountered it at a Chick-fil-A company party. He worked for Chick-fil-A before that. And he brought a spikeball set to this freshman all guys dorm that I was living
in. How fun.
And we ate it up. It was, it was amazing. I had a high school buddy who was my college roommate. He and I got super into playing, and both ended up working for spikeball, competed together on a team for many, many years. So,
wow. And now to the apple pie. That was curious to me too. That has how you connected to the former owner of this place.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So you must be good at cooking apple pies.
It's a work in progress, but I do enjoy baking and cooking in my spare time.
Yeah. Did you grow up with somebody that taught you how to cook, or did you teach yourself?
Yeah, some of both. My mom definitely taught me a lot about cooking and baking growing up. And then in my college years studying nutrition, you know, it's a lot of science, but there's also food involved. You know, I have food labs where you're learning about different scientific elements of cooking and that sort of thing. And I've always enjoyed it. I've always liked eating and thus liked food and liked preparing food. So yeah, it's kind of been a long time hobby of mine, I guess.
Mm. Did the former innkeeper Wayne, right? Wayne, did he help you and mentor you to get started in running this?
Yes. Yeah, okay. He absolutely did. Yeah, there's a lot involved and we had no idea what we were doing. So part of the reason we felt comfortable kind of pulling the trigger and jumping in was because of his influence and helping us kind of walk into it and, guiding us through the way he did it. But also, you know, we were able to see that there's room for change and we were able to set things up the way we wanted to run it. But definitely couldn't have done it without his help in just getting into the industry.
I'm excited to talk about this, and we're sitting in it right now. What room is this called that we're in right now?
Yeah, we have a sign over top of this room. What does it say? The Grand Foyer?
Okay.
Yeah, it sounds a little more hoity-toity maybe than it is.
It's the living room.
So we're in the living room, laughers. In this inn with such fascinating history, it blends the elements of Queen Anne architecture with a New England cottage style. Well, I read on the website a little bit about why that is. So I'd like you to address that. Mm-hmm. And then what inspired you to preserve and showcase these historical features?
Yeah, absolutely. So as the story goes, there was a New England ship captain who moved to the area here and built this mansion inspired by the architecture from his home in New England. And so that's a lot of the nautical influence you see on the building. A lot of the woodwork that looks like it could be inside of a ship comes from that influence.
I see that.
Yeah, absolutely. And for us, when we got here, it was obvious that the building had incredible charm and beauty. I would say it was a little bit covered up. There had been a number of different innkeepers that for the few years prior to it closing had been running the inn. And it seemed like they would bring their own idea of decor and style. And oftentimes they didn't remove what was there before. So it had kind of an eclectic mixture of styles. And it felt like it was distracting from the natural beauty of the building. And so we've really been pleased to be able to kind of take away some of those distractions and highlight and just focus on just the beautiful, intricate woodwork and the unique architectural features of the building.
Mm. What would you say are some of the most unique historical features that you kept mm-hmm. that if someone were to stay here, that they should look out for?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of my favorite features is there's a giant solid pocket door it actually divides our entryway and the living room where we're sitting now. Mm-hmm. And usually you see two pocket doors that come from both sides. Mm-hmm. Well, this door comes all from this side and it's like the size of a garage door, but it slides smoothly and beautifully out of the wall. It's just gorgeous piece of woodwork. That's one of my favorite features.
Yeah, guests often comment on the staircase. We have a kind of extra wide, beautiful wood staircase that curves around to go up to the second floor to accommodate the wide hoop skirts, allegedly. But it is, you know, it's unique. You don't normally see staircases kind of that size and shape, and it's got a window bench running across the windows, the bay windows. Just beautiful. Kind of strikes you right when you walk in the building. The other things are the original floors, you know, they're bowed in places and not totally even, but they're beautiful. Mm-hmm. Just the patterns of the wood, you know, they've really unique patterns, the beams, really all the woodwork is the most notable feature, throughout the whole house that we've done we haven't changed much of because it's in good condition, and been well cared for. And it's definitely a noticeable feature of the house.
Where do you all stay in this house?
Yeah. So, for the first couple of years that we owned it, we lived downstairs in an apartment, the innkeeper's quarters. And as of the last year or two, we actually live in a little house just behind the inn. But the attic has a space up there that is not open to guests. And so, sometimes when our parents come visit, they'll stay up there, or, if we're going to be around for a longer stretch, that's where we'll stay. We have a full-time innkeeper who lives on the property as well. And so he stays in the innkeeper's quarters where we initially lived when we bought the place.
That's so neat. And there's some historical features on the property as well. That's a carriage house right behind me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a neat sort of curving driveway with a beautiful, you can see as you drive up, you can kind of see in your mind's eye the carriage is pulling up for an evening party 80 or 100 years ago. It's a neat, well, I guess carriages were a little longer than that, but maybe over 100 years ago. But yeah, it's a gorgeous property.
Yeah, when I walked up to the front steps, mm-hmm. you can see where the carriages would pull up to the front steps to enter this home. It's set up that way, mm-hmm. which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is really cool. And we've been fortunate enough. Some folks have contacted us and shared old photos from 100 years ago of the property. And there's a local historian who reached out and provided just an absolute wealth of information about this property and the surrounding area here on top of the hill on East Market Street. That was so fascinating to see sort of where this has come from and the progression over the last 100, 150 years.
Are any of those historic photos placed here in the home?
Yeah, we have a couple couple things hanging that sort of show some of the history of the area. Yeah.
We have a few bed and breakfasts in the area in the Shenandoah Valley. Yeah. Certainly because of our history that are historic as well. Mm-hmm. In your opinion, what sets the Friendly City Inn apart from other bed and breakfasts?
Yeah.
I think the main thing I would say is our proximity to downtown, mm-hmm. And to campus, to JMU's campus, as well as coupled with the fact that we have so much space. We have an acre and a half or so of pretty much just open green space, which is really unique to be so close to a lively downtown. But when you're sitting on the back deck eating breakfast, watching the squirrels run around the yard, you feel like you're nowhere close to a city. It's relatively quiet and we have lots of open space outdoors that you don't feel like you're in a city, but then you can walk 10 minutes to the downtown and take your pick of any restaurants or breweries and, you know, get your downtown fix. I think that's something that a lot of guests coming back is because you can get that peaceful, quiet, you know, set away from the busy, but then within minutes, you have all the conveniences of a lively downtown, or if you're visiting a JMU student, you're right next to campus. So it's that combination of both, I think, that sets our property apart and makes it a really enjoyable place to visit.
Yes, we do have laughers that listen throughout Virginia, throughout the country, and around the world. So for those laughers that don't live in the Harrisonburg area, what would you say the walk would be? Is it a 10-minute walk about?
Yeah, to get to downtown? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it depends how long your legs are, I guess. And it depends if you're going to downtown or coming back, because it's downhill to get to downtown. It's uphill to get back. That's right. You go down, get some French fries and burgers, and then burn it off on the walk up the hill. But no, it's within 5 minutes walking, you are entering downtown. And the Court Square, the center of downtown, would be 10-minute walk or less.
Yeah. You get your steps in.
That's right. Absolutely.
Get some exercise.
Yes.
And your website features that you serve gourmet breakfast every morning with fresh fruit and local ingredients. So I think we've discovered the cook is Becca.
Yes.
Do you do any of the cooking?
I'm an okay sous chef.
Okay.
I guess growing up, I did cook a fair amount of breakfast with my dad. So breakfast is probably the meal I have the most experience with, but my input is pretty simple. I can cook bacon very well. You know, I can flip a pancake. I know how to make sure that gets done right, but some of the creativity and the added flair, that's all Becca.
Yeah. So when we started out, we were kind of doing everything on our own, and then we brought our innkeeper on, in 2021, about 2 years in. And then this past summer, we brought on another breakfast chef in preparation for me being out for a few months. So at the current moment, I tag team with our other breakfast chef, and we both kind of share that. I've always really enjoyed it. It's fun to be creative, come up with new ideas, gauge people's reactions to different breakfasts. I've learned a lot of lessons about what people like to eat in the mornings and what people don't so much. We've learned a lot about that. And now we're fortunate to have help so that I don't have to do this every single morning, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
That's good.
Which is very good.
What would be some of the key things you did learn about what people do like to eat for breakfast and don't like to eat breakfast? Now you got me curious.
Yes. Well, I learned a lot about our demographic. We have a pretty widespread demographic, but definitely we are still in the South and don't have a whole lot of adventurous eaters that come to us. I think a lot of people that come to a bed and breakfast, they want their eggs and bacon. They want pancakes. Early on, I tried to be a little bit more adventurous and make things that I would want to try, but we found that we don't offer a menu. So when people aren't getting to choose from different menu items, if you put down, you know, trying to think of some of the things I made early on, I wouldn't have considered them too off the wall, but like, you know, a sweet potato sausage hash or something. Mm. It's a little too off the beaten path for a lot of people. You know, when they just kind of want standard French toast and bacon. So what we've kind of focused on is elevating classic breakfast foods, making it so that it wouldn't be something you'd make for yourself, you know, on Saturday morning for breakfast, but there's still a nod to things that you're familiar with. So it's not too adventurous and that, you know, people who aren't adventurous eaters wouldn't want to try. You know, things like instead of just plain French toast, elevating it with different sauces, seasonal fruits, and, you know, all kinds of things like that, making it a little bit more creative without being too creative.
Yes, I love that. And you also work really hard. It's a value of yours to work with locally sourced food. So people that provide that in the area, how do you do that?
Yeah. So we've been really fortunate just with where we're located here, that a big part of our business is being familiar with other local businesses, because when people come and stay with us, they want to get that local experience. And so part of what we do is to promote and connect with and have a good, you know, sort of finger on the pulse of what's going on in small business in the area. So that's allowed us to get connected with a tremendous amount of local businesses, from the wineries and vineyards and cideries, to local farms that, you know, grow produce and meats and things like that. So we've had some great partnerships with some local local growers of food. We're always looking for more. So if anyone's out there listening and thinking, that's me, I grow this, or I farm this, or I raise this, or you got maple syrup or honey, you know, all those sorts of things, please reach out. We would love to hear from you. And we're always looking for those kinds of partnerships.
And just call them up and say, hey, we need so much of this and so much of
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Okay. Yep.
Building relationships with people in the area is very important to you guys.
Certainly.
Wow. Well, we're all about the locally sourced goodness here too at Virginia's for Laughers. In fact, I have brought you some absurdly flavorful gourmet popcorn that we can munch on together from our sponsor, Preposterous, Shenandoah Valley's only award-winning popcorn. Is this your first experience with them?
It is, and it won't be the last.
Amen.
I think you guys are trying the Windy City mix.
We are. Mm. Yep, it's a classic. A little sweet, a little salty. Mm-hmm. Delicious.
Mm-hmm. They have both sweet and salty flavors, and then they mix them up. Plus, their kernels are grown right here in the valley, and their factory is 100% nut-free.
Wow.
How amazing is that?
There you go.
And it makes a perfect gift for any occasion, birthdays, anniversaries, anything you can think of. Plus, Laughers, you get a discount. Just use promo code LAUGH15 and you'll get 15% off today. And choose from some of their salt and sweet tea flavors. Well, salt and sweet tea. I don't know if that's the way it's supposed to have been said, but sweet and salty flavors, I believe. Just visit prepopsterous.com. That's PrePopsterous.com and get to munching on some of this local goodness today.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. This is delicious. I know. You
it
guys
sure
are,
is.
Your popcorn's almost gone.
Yeah, we made short work of it.
I think Eleanor will love it when she gets a chance.
She will.
To try it. She's staring out the window right now, Laughers. Mm-hmm. She's got her eye on something. My next question for you all is, this past October, the Friendly City Inn was featured in Southern Living magazine. And the write-up was truly incredible.
It really was.
You guys were the talk of the town. We were so proud. You made me proud. And I'm so lucky to get to know you two today. I know I'm not alone. And one of my favorite comments on the Facebook page was posted by Eugene Whitmer. And it says, and I quote, "Hey, that magazine is very discerning to feature Friendly City Inn Bed and Breakfast. Makes me feel very proud to be a grandpa of those people." That's amazing. I wonder if you could share some thoughts of what that experience was like for you two and what you're most proud of.
Yeah, we certainly can. Before I dive into that, I have to share that my grandpa Eugene actually passed away a few days ago. Mm. And he was very proud to have us here doing this. He actually owned a Motor Lodge in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where I grew up, and he and my grandmother ran that for many years. So he was always really proud to have the hospitality gene carried through his granddaughter. But he was always a big supporter. But we were super thankful to have that feature in Southern Living magazine. It's been really a huge blessing, and it was so fun to be part of that. The writer of the article and her husband came and stayed. I think it was a year ago, so fall of 2022, they came and stayed and spent a few days in town, and the tourism department put together a great itinerary for them. But when they were here, we just got to know them and got to chat with them over breakfast. And it was really special to introduce them to Harrisonburg and all the things we love about Harrisonburg and kind of be their landing place for their few days in town. And yes, the write-up was so beautiful. We were so thankful that they highlighted so many fun features of our town so well. I wish they could have featured every business in town. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it, obviously the space is limited, but, you know, we were really fortunate to be part of that.
Hmm. I know there were so many businesses they did highlight. I thought that was done incredibly too. It's a testimony to that writer's skills, to be honest.
Yeah. And I think they did a great job curating a selection with a lot of variety. They really showcased how much, for the size it is, how much Harrisonburg has to offer. So much variety, so many fun things to see and do. It was an honor to be in that list of businesses.
Yeah. Did you do a happy dance or something when you saw it come out?
We did. Yeah. the time between when they were here and when it came out was so long, we had almost forgotten about it. And then somebody, I forget if they texted us or shared something online.
Yeah, we started getting texts from friends saying like, saw this article, this is awesome. And that was how we first saw it, I think, where people, it started circulating and other businesses started reposting. And eventually they reached out to us and sent us a hard copy and said, you know, it's featured. But yeah, it was kind of a fun surprise because we had, you know, hadn't been thinking about it for a long time since it took about a year to publish. But it was a really fun to see that come out. And we were very excited and have been pleasantly surprised by the amount of bookings that we've gotten from people just seeing our feature in the magazine. So it's definitely bringing people to town, which is really exciting to see that that's working.
Great. So is it framed somewhere in here?
It is. It's in
wonderful. Yep,
it's in the kitchen on the wall, right next to our first ever newspaper article when we opened the place.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm gonna have to take a selfie with it. I love that. And I love also on your website, you outline what your philosophy is and what you emphasize, which is serving others, supporting local businesses, reducing environmental impact. How do these values shape your day-to-day operations and guest interactions at the Friendly City Inn?
Yeah, each in a different way, I guess. But we really do love, I think I can speak for both of us when I say the thing we love most about this business, this industry, is the people we get to meet. And it's just, you know, our front door is open. That's the nature of owning a bed and breakfast. And everybody that walks through our door is somebody we get to interact with, hear a little bit about their story, and introduce them to a town that is so special to us, that we love, that we call home. So really giving them a place to connect with people, feel comfortable, a place to get some relaxation.
Eleanor supports
she's
that.
She's chiming in. yeah, giving them that you know, peaceful stay while they can, pointing them to adventures around town that they can enjoy. That's been really fun for us. And then, yeah, we try our best to run a responsible business in many ways, you know, trying to reduce our environmental impact and do our part, trying to be a valuable member of our community. We really value the business community in Harrisonburg, and we want to contribute. We want to, help it to be more of what it is, a community that supports other businesses, supports each other. So we try our best to be a valuable part of that and to contribute.
Did you want to add to that, Joel?
I think she nailed it.
Nailed it. What are some of the rewards you've experienced from running a business together as a husband and wife team?
Yeah, I think it's given us a lot of great opportunities to learn about ourselves, learn about each other, to figure out and improve how we communicate, how we collaborate. Because obviously with a business like this, that's sort of a 365 days a year thing, things come up and they're not always at the perfect time. They're not always the most convenient thing. And so you got to learn to help each other and support each other. And that's been really fantastic.
I'm wondering too, I'm very curious human, as you can see, what would you say are each other's strengths? So what would you say, Joel, is Becca's strengths?
Yeah. Becca is really, really hardworking. She's really responsible. She's organized. She's efficient. She makes hard work look easy. And it works really well in partnership together, that I sometimes am kind of a dreamer. I'm looking for new ideas, new ways to improve and grow. And without somebody like Becca to sort of keep things grounded, the things that we're already doing, I think I would struggle. And so, she really balances me out really well in that way.
Okay. Yeah. It's the wife's turn. Becca, what would you say Joel's strengths are?
Joel is our visionary. He's our creative joint. He's the one with all the ideas. I always say if it weren't for him, I would still be living in my parents' basement, working a job that I didn't like. You know, he's the one that he's very passionate about getting people to achieve things that they really want and create a life for themselves that they're going to enjoy, instead of just, you know, tolerating a job that you don't like just because it brings in income. So yeah, he's the one driving it forward. He drives the ship forward. any new idea, new collaboration that we dive into is his brains. He also,
she thinks
Eleanor seconds that. yeah, that's my dad.
Yes. He is also great at connecting with people. He's very empathetic and is great at connecting with people. So he drives a lot of our connections as well. And really enjoys that part of, you know, connecting with other people, guests, businesses. So it really does work well together.
Yeah. Did you want to add to that?
No.
Because I had another question with that. You've been doing this 2019. So let's see, 20 is a few years now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you've learned how to work together mm-hmm. as a husband and wife team doing this. Mm-hmm. What kind of advice would you give to a husband and wife out there that might be thinking about going into an adventure together, an entrepreneurial venture together?
Mm, yeah.
Based on what you've learned the last few years, what would you suggest to them? What advice
would
you give?
Great question. I think before jumping into that, the advice I would give people, which would be the same advice I would give before you get into that relationship together, is have the hard conversations up front. Mm-hmm. It's easy to get excited about an idea or excited about a possibility and jump in and think, well, we'll figure out those things later. And there are things that you have to figure out along the way, but I think there are a lot of difficult and important conversations that you can have ahead of time that will make life a lot easier if you're going into it with your eyes open. So once you've jumped in, then I think
our baby entertainment in the background.
Yeah, Eleanor has some ideas about this.
She does.
We need a translator.
She's witnessed things.
Yeah. But I would say, you know, if you decide you're going to jump into something together, you've got to remember that whatever the venture is, whatever it is you're doing, it's not more important and it's not longer lasting than your relationship. And so you can't start pointing the finger if something goes wrong. You can't be playing the blame game or getting frustrated with one another. If you can find a way to align yourselves against any problems or difficulties that you encounter together, I think you can make it work.
There we go.
Something that Joel always says to me when I am getting frustrated about something, you know, that isn't going well, or I'm taking it out on him, we're on the same team. We're on the same team.
That's a good reminder.
And it is a really good reminder. You know, we're working towards the same goals. We both want our business to succeed. We both want the same things. And we have to remind ourselves sometimes that we're working at it together. Even if we have different opinions, it's worth talking through that because we're on the same team. We have the same end goals. There may be different ways to get there. And sometimes you have to, you know, set up your expectations and talk through that. But if you're on the same team, if you're working towards the same things and you've determined that at the outset, then you can get there together.
What are some examples of the difficult conversations you should have? I imagine money may be one of them.
Yeah, certainly finances. Okay. Risk tolerance is a big one that's come up for us in business ownership. We have very different levels of risk tolerance and have had to talk through that many times, just, you know, with what I'm willing to go with and, you know, stack that against what his vision is and that sort of thing. Yeah, that's definitely a big one.
Eleanor really likes these questions.
Yep. I think growth is another thing that can come up. You know, everybody's going to have a little different idea of when it's the right time to sort of maintain what you've got and when it's the time to add or build or grow something new. And ideally you have a balance. And I think we do, and that's been fantastic. But that's something that can be a challenge along the way.
Mm. You have background in entrepreneurship, Joel, mm-hmm. and yours is in dietetics, Becca. How do you combine your diverse skills and expertise to manage this end successfully?
Yeah. I think Becca does a really awesome job of allowing me the space and freedom to chase those ideas and dreams that I have. And as long as it's clear that I've done my homework and I can show her, why I'm so excited about an idea or an opportunity, she's very supportive of that. And I think that works really well. And for me, I learned pretty early that I have all sorts of ideas about how to cook a beautiful breakfast, but I'm not the one doing it. And I got to leave that to her. She's doing things that I look at and I think that doesn't look like the right way to do that. But she's got 7 or 8 factors in her head that I am not aware of. And it becomes clear at one point or another why her idea was the right way.
What would you add to that?
Yeah, I think Joel said it well. It's, working together is important. And we've learned along the way our different strengths and how to highlight that. And I don't know that I have much more to add. He summed it up well.
He's doing good. Your hospitality here is something that you're known for, is the central aspect of your vision for the Friendly City Inn. Can you share a memorable guest experience that embodies the spirit of hospitality you strive to cultivate?
Yeah, that's a great question. We have many stories and they kind of get muddled together. I don't know if, Joel, can you think of any specific that you want to highlight?
Yeah, we've got, so a lot of our guests are connected to JMU in some way or another. And it's been really neat to get to sort of follow the journeys of those students through often their parents, grandparents, and other relatives coming to stay with us. I just think of the many, many times we've gotten to sit with guests out on the patio and chat with them and just hear what's going on in their lives. People that have come and stayed with us 3, 4, 5, 6 times in a school year. It's just so cool to be a part of that journey.
Yeah, we've had, like I said, just numerous guests. We get a lot of repeat guests and it's fun to build relationships with them over the years. Earlier on in running the business, we had one couple that came here to celebrate their 3-month anniversary. They'd been together for 3 months and this was their first getaway together. And they were older, not middle-aged, I would say. And I remember it was their first day was memorable because they had a hard time navigating downtown and they ended up calling me several times on the phone. We're trying to get to this restaurant and we ended up here. And I'm like, oh, you're at the north end of town and it's a one-way street. So trying to over the phone, direct them around the downtown area to get to the restaurant where they had reservations. But they really enjoyed their stay. They ended up coming back several times. They ended up getting engaged here. He proposed to her at breakfast. I served them breakfast.
So you were there.
I brought the tray with the ring on it.
Oh my gosh.
And they just celebrated. They came back for anniversaries then. So they've celebrated a lot of milestones. And that's kind of a good summary of, I guess how our hospitality reaches out to people. And we try to really take the time to make people feel welcome, make them feel like we care about them because we do. And we really enjoy being part of people's stories, even if they're only here once, you know, even if they're not repeat guests. We get a lot of people just traveling through on 81 that stop in for the night, but we still enjoy getting to know them and giving them something to remember further on down the road.
Did she know that she was going to get asked the question?
I think she suspected pretty heavily. It didn't seem like she was totally caught off guard.
That's so fun. You mentioned something that just now that they stop in just for the night. Some bed and breakfast have a 2-night requirement stay or required stay. What is your policy on all of that?
We rarely do, the exception being some of our fall weekends. We do set a 2-night minimum just because we're always totally busy. We're always fully booked and it just helps with managing the workload to have a 2-night minimum. Otherwise we don't keep a night minimum primarily because we like to be available for people who are traveling because we're right along Interstate 81. So we get lots and lots of people just traveling the East Coast that need a place to stay. So we try to keep that low barrier. We're the closest lodging place just about to off the interstate. So we typically don't set a 2-night minimum except for some of our busiest weekends.
How many rooms do you have in here?
We have 10 guest rooms.
Mm-hmm. Can you describe some of them?
Yeah. So we have a variety of bed sizes. We have a couple rooms with kings, a couple rooms with queen beds, and a couple rooms with multiple beds in them. So you can fit, you know, four people would probably be the max in any of our rooms that you could fit. They're each unique. They're each different decor. We are working on gradually, you know, updating things here and there, but each room has its own private bathroom. Each room has its own climate control. You can set the temperature to what you want. Each room has a TV, you know, all of those modern conveniences that you would get at a hotel, but also with unique charm of, you know, some of them have sloping floors a little bit because it's an old house. Some of them have beautiful mountain views, you know, sunset views over downtown. Some of them at the back of the house get to overlook the backyard and get a lot more sunlight. So each room is unique. We love all of them and they each have their own kind of decor style as well.
Oh, that reminds me. There is a legend that there might be somebody that still lives here. Oh, let's talk about that.
Yes. The former owner long ago, Audrey Long was her name. And she was an artist and a creative. She was a painter, beautiful paintings. And legend would have it that she still frequents the inn.
Okay.
So different folks have had their different experiences.
Okay. All positive.
Yes. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yes. She's very friendly.
Okay.
And it's fitting for Harrisonburg, the friendly city.
Although she's visiting, this would be her first podcast, I would think.
Yeah. Perhaps.
We're all looking up and around. Audrey. That's really exciting. You're located right here in the Shenandoah Valley, giving guests also a variety of outdoor activity experiences or access to that. Now, since this podcast is all about things non-hiking in the Shenandoah Valley, can you highlight other outdoor activities in the area laughers can enjoy?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of my favorites, and this is pretty niche, is foraging for mushrooms.
I saw that. Now you are the mushroom guy and I,
yes.
What in the world? Why would you forage mushrooms? What is that all about?
Well, you know how kids really enjoy an Easter egg hunt?
Yes.
I think it's a little bit like an Easter egg hunt for adults, you know?
Okay.
And at worst, you have a beautiful walk in the woods. That's a bad day foraging for mushrooms. And on a good day, it's really difficult to describe how satisfying and fulfilling it is to be searching for this camouflaged thing on the forest floor and then find it and then find another. But it's something that I grew up doing in Northern Michigan where I grew up. My relatives from Ohio would come up to visit each spring and we would hunt for mushrooms. And it's just always been a part of my life. So something I enjoy doing in the area.
Joel won't toot his own horn, but he is a state certified in 7 states mushroom forager.
that's a thing?
Yeah, it is. It's, okay. It's something that's begun to be regulated in the last decade or two.
Right.
And so for good reason. You know, mushrooms are unbelievable and amazing, but they can be dangerous if you don't know what you're doing, if you're overconfident. They say there are old mushroom hunters and there are bold mushroom hunters, but there are no bold old mushroom hunters. So you got to make sure you know what you're doing. That's something that I enjoy and have enjoyed enough to take some classes, do a lot of learning, get some certifications in it. So that's a great example. Obviously people do a ton of mountain biking around the area. It's gorgeous, beautiful for that. Fly fishing, is another thing. We're very close to Mossy Creek Fly Fishing Shop. It's 100 yards from us.
Yep, right down there, across the street.
Too much time there. But they're great, great folks. Super helpful. And, that's a great activity in the valley.
Kayaking.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The rivers, kayaking, canoeing, people take tubing trips down the rivers, beautiful thing to do in the summer when it's hot.
Yeah, it can be outdoors wineries in the warmer months. We have a lot of people that just do kind of little winery tours, walking around a lot of beautiful vineyards in the area with beautiful mountain views as well. There's really no shortage of outdoor adventure in the area.
These mushrooms, back to the mushrooms. So many questions about mushrooms.
Sure.
Big one that I have on my mind right now is, what do you do with these mushrooms? Are any of them edible?
Yeah.
What happens with the mushrooms after you collect them?
Yeah, great question. I think there are those that are so deeply fascinated by mushrooms that, you know, they're in it just to find variety, all these different kinds. I really enjoy finding edible mushrooms.
Okay.
Gourmet wild mushrooms, many of which can't be cultivated. And so it's a real treat when you can find and cook them up and eat them.
Do they wind up in the gourmet breakfasts at Friendly City Inn sometimes?
We haven't implemented that yet.
Okay.
But I think it's something that we could explore for sure.
Okay. Have you found, is there such a thing as the world's largest mushroom?
I'm sure there is. yes, I couldn't say that I've found the world's largest mushroom. I've found some big ones, but the variety is cool. They're beautiful. They're strange. It's just a lot of fun.
And for you, nostalgia also.
Yes, absolutely.
Because you grew up doing it.
Big nostalgia factor there for sure.
Yeah, I think that's great. Yeah, we talked before the podcast how my husband and I lived in Lansing, Michigan before.
Yeah.
We moved here and got married on Mackinac Island in Michigan. So I'm somewhat familiar with your neck of the woods from whence you came.
Yes. A gorgeous place.
Yes. But now you're here at the Friendly City Inn. And I want to ask you, can you share with us your vision for the future of this place and what you hope guests will take away from their experience here?
Yeah. It sounds like a lot like some of the ventures that you've started in the last couple of years. We started at an interesting time. 2019 is when we bought and reopened the place. And so the first couple of years, you know, we're not the first 2 years we envisioned, with 2020 and the pandemic, travel kind of grinding to a halt. And so, I think we've had to adjust some of the timeline of the ways we want to grow and build on what's here and improve what's here. But as Becca mentioned earlier, the property is beautiful. It's spacious. I think there's a lot of room to utilize the grounds in a way that can both enhance the experience for our guests that come from out of town and also potentially, create a sense of local community where, we're interested in things like more, native local plants and wildflowers. And I've seen some incredible things people have done with properties with pollinator gardens and beehives and just really neat stuff that can transform a property into something that anyone walking by would want to, peruse through and see. So I think we have space to grow. We have ideas. I think events could be a really neat thing here that could bring more locals into the property. And that's something that we'd love to explore, in the future.
Yeah, we have just barely dipped our toes in the water of events. We've hosted one live music event during the pandemic and just a few small things. And it feels like a big feat. It's, a lot of work, but we have, so much space and such a beautiful area that we want to be a place where locals, townies can come and experience the inn. We have so many people that we interact with or meet that say, like, I've lived in Harrisonburg all my life and I've never set foot on the property, drive by it every day. I don't know what it looks like. So we're always looking for ways, and we'd really like to do more of that in the future of, being part of First Fridays or having live music events or, wine tastings on the live property, things comedy. Like that. Live comedy events is a big one. Absolutely. Things that bring locals onto the property and just, get more enjoyment out of our space here and introduce more people to what we have going on here.
Oh, that's amazing. I can connect you with some people on First Fridays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd love that.
Yeah. That would be great to have this as a place to stop.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
These are great ideas. Keep dreaming.
Thank you.
Keep dreaming is my bottom note there.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up here, how best can the Laughers stay updated with you on social media or otherwise?
Yeah. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Friendly City Inn. We love to hear from folks on social media. You can check out our website, friendlycityinn.com, send us an email, give us a call. It's great that many of our bookings are direct bookings, and we love getting to talk to people ahead of time by email, by phone, and hear from them, you know, why they're coming to town, how they found us, what, yep, that too.
Eleanor loves that too.
That's right. She loves chatting with guests on the phone, I guess.
A young people person.
That's right. Yeah. She seems to be. So we love to get to add that personal touch. And work with people ahead of time to make sure that we're prepared to make their stay as great as it can be.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Joel and Becca. This has been so wonderful and delightful to speak with both of you today on all things the Friendly City Inn. Thank you for sharing with us today and coming on the show.
Yeah, likewise. It's great to chat with you, and we appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
Yes, you are welcome. And laughers, to learn more about this historic bed and breakfast that provides you with a warm welcome, peaceful rest, and exceptional breakfast, book your stay and be sure to visit their website at friendlycityinn.com. That's friendlycityinn.com today. Also, don't forget that discount on Prepopsterous using promo code LAUGH15 at prepopsterous.com. That way you can munch on it when you join me on next week's episode. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show, or let us bring one to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share this podcast with a friend, and until next time, cheers.